Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Zion Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is May 29th, 2019.
Turmoil, most do not realize it, but we are in that time in the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your prayer request. Please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, text Dan on his cell at 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. You can always find our updates and breaking news at the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives and contact information all at the Ministry Hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note,
let's thank our listener base in worldwide places like RE, sounds like hair.
Just say hair.
Zimbabwe.
And this little thing I put on there for you, so you all you had to do
sounds
is say
like hair. Hair.
No, you don't say sounds like hair. You just say hair.
Okay. Helsinki, Finland, Auckland, New Zealand, Dublin, Ireland, and of course the good old cities in the U.S. like Detroit, Michigan, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Fresno, California, New Orleans, Louisiana. And looks like Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it podcasts later tonight.
And I
program
to,
when it pops up.
Yeah, well, I forgot to change that. I changed it on my other notes from my other program. Aurora, Illinois this week beat Wichita, Kansas. So you folks in Aurora, thanks for listening and tune in. And Wichita, hey, man, what's the matter with you? You're supposed to be listening to the radio program. Okay. Follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Lift the veil from their hearts, their ears. Just lift the veil from them, Father. Let them see through the veil. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your son Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. We'll say hello to the folks, Linda.
Shalom. I'm smelling my wonderful flowers my husband put in front of me today.
Oh, why did
a yellow rose, a red rose, and a pink. I'm not sure what those are, but they really smell good.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I did that last week. You never, you know. Okay, well, anyway, moving right along. So, hey, it looks like we can cancel building the ark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is it raining now?
The waters went away.
The water's going away. It hasn't. You're seeing some mud hole. We're here in Kansas. You're seeing some mud holes dry up some because we didn't get rain the last few days. But it's the ground is still, it looks, all the nice, there's grass there, but if you step on the grass, it's mud under the grass.
As our front yard, the water hole turned to mud hole because our two-year-old granddaughter was playing in it for 2 days. And so now it's a big mud hole instead of.
Yeah, and I told her now the rule is to stay out anyway. But what isn't normal, you realize that there's been over 500 tornadoes, in the last 30 days. That's not normal. In fact, Tuesday there was the 12th day in a row that at least 8 tornadoes were at once. That's 8 at once. Now I've seen it pretty bad, but it is history because since 1998 there's been an average 279 tornadoes during the month of May. So the fact that we've had over 500 is more than normal. But you know, being here in Kansas, I've seen, you know, remember the one we seen off the highway that one time when we're coming back from Newton that was cutting across the field? Speak up.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and so my point is yeah, they're dangerous and they just come out of nowhere, but you just learn to not be that worried about it.
The one that really sticks in my mind though is when I was little, my dad outran one. We all 10 of us kids was in the station wagon and he outran one. We watched it from the back of the station wagon as he went faster and faster and it got closer and closer, but he did outrun it.
Well,
but that was stuck in my brain probably for life.
Well, I'm amazed that it didn't stick in your brain. You don't remember when we went to visit our daughter in McPherson. And we came, and the alarms went off on the cell phones and everything. And we came out and it did the same thing. It chased us. In fact, all of it was behind us. You could look right behind us and see all there was so much lightning in the sky. It was just crazy. And the radio said that, you know, that's right exactly where it was at. And so we outran one then too.
Yeah.
So. You know, but, you know, you remember what you remember. Actually, when I was about 3 years old, when we just got back from California to Kansas, 3.5 years old, I remember all of us happened to hide in a ditch, and we were holding on to a barbed wire fence to keep from being blown away. That was in Wichita, Kansas. And so I have to ask Sharon about that and see if she remembers it. And Sharon, of course, folks, is my sister. But anyway, read this one, but here in the midst of the storm, you have miracles. Here's one.
A tornado miraculously changed directions just before it was going to slam into the children's hospital. Did we just witness a major miracle? That is what some people were claiming after a tornado was miraculously redirected just before it was about to hit a children's hospital in Dayton, Ohio. The following comes from the CBN. A twister that struck Dayton, Ohio on Memorial Day suddenly swerved from its path, which could have been a direct hit on a children's hospital. Miraculously, I do not know how this happened, but we are grateful it went around the children's hospital. Dayton Fire Chief Jeffrey Payne told the Dayton Daily News. It amazes me. It was going in a trajectory straight for the hospital and went in a different direction just before it got there. The Dayton Daily News report, given the extent of the tornado's devastation, officials said it was a miraculous. No one was killed or severely injured. The word miracle surfaced many times and again Tuesday.
Yeah, so you know, the detailed report that I read, I just put a portion of it. It was headed directly towards the children's hospital, and just like right before it got there, it turned. But, you know, I don't blink about those things. I believe I'm confirmed in faith. Absolutely, it's a miracle. The Father changed direction of the storm. That's what I'm going to believe. You wouldn't change my mind. But that shows that, you know, that shows how our Father loves us, and He is there in the midst of the storm. What it does show is we think, well, Pastor Dan, why didn't that happen before it hit my house or hit something else? Because the special thing about children is what? What's special about children?
They're innocent. Innocent blood.
Innocent blood. And so, you know, absolutely, I would expect Him to do that. I definitely expect Him to do that. So, amen. So He saved the children. And so there is that in the midst of the storm. But, folks, you have to realize, and this isn't from global warming, of course, for anybody who decides to go there. If anything, we're in global cooling right now. But moving right along. So we're talking about children now. But read this one.
Satanists will challenge Supreme Court ruling requiring burial of aborted babies. The Satanic Temple plans to challenge the U.S. Supreme Court ruling allowing Indiana to require that aborted babies be buried or cremated, the religious group said this week. The group said that the ruling violates its members' religious freedom, the Hill reports. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court upheld the Indiana law that requires the cremation or burial of aborted babies' bodies. Indiana lawmakers passed legislation in 2016 to prevent abortion facilities from profiting off of the sales of aborted baby parts. Barely a day later, the Satanic Temple declared immunity against the law and announced its plan to challenge the decision, according to the Arkansas Times.
Is it Arkansas or is it Arkansas?
Arkansas and Arkansas. If you're in Kansas, it's Arkansas. If you're not, it's Arkansas.
Arkansas.
If
you go to Arkansas, it's Arkansas. If you're in Kansas, it's Arkansas, just like the Arkansas River. But if you're in Arkansas, it's the Arkansas River.
Okay, well, it's Arkansas.
Okay, well, we're in Kansas, clearly. Are we in Kansas anymore, Toto? Okay, moving right along. But here's the point. You know, now we do know as a fact they sell aborted baby parts. In fact, that's on film and all that. And so they did pass this law. But what this law is doing, it's getting us closer and closer to, okay, so if they say you have to bury a baby's body, now pay attention, you have to bury a baby's body, that's saying that it, just like you would another human being, isn't that saying that they're a human being, right?
Of course it is. They are a human being, so yes, it is.
Right, but not according to Roe versus Wade, technically.
Right, they're saying they're not a baby.
Right, they're not saying, you know, I don't know all the details of it, but it basically they're allowed to do it because it wasn't about, you know, a child. But what all these things are doing, they're passing a lot of laws so they want to get to the Supreme Court. They want this to be challenged. They want to go to the Supreme Court because they want to, now that we have a conservative majority over there, we want to try to throw out Roe versus Wade. And in order to do that, they will go in there with this saying, well, it is a live human being and that it has rights and so on and so forth. And so we welcome the challenges, but it amazes me, you know, it doesn't amaze me. The Satanistic Temple, you know, is the one that come forward, you know, and going to be the first one to challenge it. Now, anyway, then moving right along, we're talking about films. Now, here's another one. Planned Parenthood's agree to take, in this article, it talks about a Planned Parenthood agreeing to take money to abort a black baby. Now, when Justice Clarence Thomas on Tuesday urged the Supreme Court to act on various abortion law cases because of the industry's threat to achieve eugenic goals, one pro-life group immediately reached into its archives to produce a video. Now, eugenics means, you know, the control of human life, you know, to kill people off. If they want to make society they want it. You know, it'd be like having all blonde-haired people or no blacks and no this or that. Anyway, so we're talking about a video. Live Action posted a video in which Planned Parenthood representatives agreed to accept a donation to pay for the abortion of a black baby. Thomas' recurring opinion came in a split ruling by the court in which the justices allowed a requirement that deceased unborn babies be given a proper burial. But they also refused to allow a provision banning abortions based on sex, or disability. Now, that was left in there. Okay. The law and other laws like it promote a state's compelling interest in preventing abortion from becoming a tool of modern-day eugenics. Thomas, that's Clarence Thomas, wrote in his opinion. That's what he wrote. But Live Action said it asked Planned Parenthood staffers if it would indeed accept donations to abort black babies. Among the responses were, absolutely. We would certainly make sure that gift was earmarked specifically for that purpose. An employee said it was understandable when the donor on the telephone said, well, we just think, you know, the less black kids out there, the better. So the response was, okay, we'll set a gift for that. We'll help you kill black babies, in other words. Twitchy wrote, In reality, Planned Parenthood is continuing the founder and eugenicist Margaret Sanger's mission to abort poor and minority babies in the name of racial betterment. For the evidence of that, look no further than that horrifying video, and I posted it over there at the thing. But here's the point. Margaret Sanger is the one that really is the founder of the movement of abortion and everything. And originally, now while they hail her, abortion people that love abortions, they hail her as a hero, but they don't look into, like a lot of people, they don't look into their history and why they did it. Her original thoughts and things of why she was doing it, and she said it in speeches and in books and things, was to, well, we put them in poor neighborhoods and we put them in black communities because we need to get rid of those people. And so, you know, she was a racist that wanted to get rid of black people. And she is also, you know, I don't know if you'd call it racist towards the poor in general, but she wanted to, you know, better society by getting rid of the poor and the black, which she considered not really humans. What do you think about that?
Abomination.
Abomination. But here's my point. They don't even look at the history. You know, it's just like it, that's why the left is out there trying to rile people up to get rid of history. They want to change the name to this or this. They put it in kids' minds. Well, this is offensive, so let's get rid of it. Let's take it out of the history books. Or this person can't talk because they're trying to change history, because history actually reveals their wickedness. You know, the Republican Party. You know why the Republican Party was created?
Why?
The Republican Party was created to do away with slavery. Now, if you listen to the Democrats, they act like they're the ones that initiated and everything else. Not so. Every Civil Rights Act, major Civil Rights Act that came out and changed it where women could vote and where blacks could vote and desegregation and all those, all of them were opposed by the Democratic Party. In fact, what the Democratic Party decided to do, in fact, there's writings on that, that say that, well, because they couldn't beat it by stopping it by votes, slavery and all those things, then they would bring them into their party. They would fool them. They'd make them think that they are about the poor, and they're not about the poor, and they're not about the blacks. Obama did practically zero for the black man. You know, in fact, we have many blacks that are coming forward now and saying, you know, President Trump did more for black people than Obama ever did, you know, or any other really previous presidency in, you know, recent history. But the point is, their so-called first black president, which is half white, you know, and born in Kenya, has did less for them than any of them. And now Biden, which is his vice president, is running, you know, on Obama's ticket, so to speak, because he was a vice president. And, you know, I guess I wonder if Clint Eastwood will do a thing about Biden. You know, remember what he did? You remember what Clint Eastwood did about Obama?
No, remind me.
The empty chair. He put an empty chair up on the stage at one of the award shows, and he talked to Obama like he was in the chair instead of whole. But it was really funny. At first, the people thought he was going nuts, but then they snapped. He was talking to Obama. As an
that would have been funny. I'd like to see that.
We did see it.
I did.
Yeah, we watched it together. You just forgot. You know, but that's what AIDS does. I'll bring it up in a video and show it to you. But my point is they don't look at history. You know, they don't look at history. Now, today, we got time for this. Real quick, do this one.
Dark day, Illinois House passes abortion bill for far worse than New York's. According to the legal analyst from the Thomas More Society's Peter Brin, the bill would remove any penalty for performing late-term abortions, allow nurses to perform medication abortions, and eliminate licensing and health and safety inspections for abortion clinics, and would strip all rights from unborn children and wipe nearly every abortion regulation off the books in Illinois, subjecting that any remain to the court challenge under a near impossible to meet strict scrutiny standard. Friends adds that even very young minors would be able to obtain abortions without parental notice, and that parental notice laws currently on the books in Illinois is estimated to have decreased abortion rates among minors by 57%. All Illinois insurance would be forced to cover abortion procedures. All licensing requirements for abortion facilities would be removed, and much more. That's just terrible, terrible, terrible.
That was today.
Terrible.
That was today, which also means that it will allow them to kill a baby after it comes out. But here's the point.
Murder.
Okay. What's the biggest city in Illinois?
St. Louis. St. Louis, Illinois.
St. Louis is in Missouri.
Oh, St. Louis. There's not a St. Louis, Missouri or Illinois?
Well, there might be, but I've
know.
Never
I've
heard
been,
of it.
I don't know.
Chicago. Okay. There is actually a movement among conservatives in it, because here's the thing, like I told you last week, we were talking about California, good and bad, right? You know, how there's some places that are abominable or not. Well, Chicago is totally liberal, but there's a lot of conservative counties out there that are trying to force Chicago into becoming the 51st state. They want to kick Chicago out of Illinois so they won't be ruled by Chicago. And see, there's a prime example of what would happen if you got rid of the Electoral College. Then we'd be run by a couple of liberal places, you know. But anyway, and so, my hand's off to you over there in Chicago, and that's where Aurora, Illinois is. And so you folks listening over there, we're praying for you. Stand up. But that's what we need to do. We need to stand up and be counted. We need to talk forward. Really, if we lose Trump in the next presidency, you know, the next election, and it goes to a liberal, America is lost.
It is.
It will be lost. It will absolutely be lost. So, anyway, Mom, we're getting ready to go to a break, so tell them where they can find us.
You can find us at prophecyhour.com. Everything, our address, how to donate, about the church, about the radio, everything's at prophecyhour.com.
Okay, when are we going to be back?
In 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver in song. If you'll give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls if they don't know. Walking in darkness, they cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. You're soon
Legalism relates to principles of right and wrong behavior. It has been defined as strict literal adherence to the law or to a particular code of religion or morality. The question arises, is being categorized as legalistic an insult or a compliment? To begin with, it should be noted that the term legalism cannot be found in the Bible. However, its moral synonyms as listed by dictionaries are mentioned over 500 times. Virtuous, moral, honorable, chaste, pure, ethical, just, decent, honest, and righteous? Could it be that the use of the word legalistic is an attempt to avoid dealing with these important issues? Should believers be adherents to the moral laws of our Creator, or should every man do that which is right in his own eyes? While it is true that there is none righteous, no, not one, those that are, as the Bible states, born of Him can live in a righteous manner by the power of the Holy Spirit. The next time that someone says that you, a believer in Christ, keeping God's commandments or being legalistic, the best response would be to simply say thank you. Why? Because they are calling you a saint. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications. Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Say hello to them.
Shalom. We're back.
Okay, well, wait a minute. You say shalom when you're leaving, and you said shalom when you see them?
Yes, it's a greeting and a good buyer.
It's a greeting and a good buyer.
Yeah.
A good buyer. Okay, yeah, actually what it means in is perfect peace. So you're wishing, you're blessing people when you do that. But so yeah, it can be, shalom can be said coming in or going out.
And know. In the middle.
And in the middle.
And on the top and on the bottom.
Okay, moving right along. I don't know.
Okay, we're back. We're live on American Voice Radio Network.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
Okay. All right. I'd ask you what you want to talk about, but you probably don't have anything but a blank, right? Anyway, let's talk about a couple of things. Anyway, one of the things, we'll bring this up real quick. We'll talk about the Mission Church a little bit, but, you know, you heard about it was all over the net and all over everywhere that over the weekend, you remember the vet that rose the money for the wall?
Right.
Right, right. Okay, well, you see, you wondered a couple weeks ago what happened to him.
Right.
And so he turned it into a private foundation, but it was floundering. It wasn't really, you know, going anywhere. And so Bannon, do you know who Bannon is?
It's a construction company, isn't it?
Stop. I'm going to explain it to you. No, it's not a construction. Bannon isn't a construction company.
Oh.
Okay. Bannon was one of the very first White House aides that wasn't there very long with Obama, not with Obama, I repent, with President Trump when he first came into office, and people didn't like him or whatever, some did, but he is totally pro-Trump. Well, he left as being an aide, but Bannon got in with the guy because the thing was floundering. They didn't know what direction to go. And so through his direction, Banning, they came up, got a construction company. They aren't a construction company. They use money to pay the construction company from that $20 million that was rose to build the wall from the veteran. Okay, so with Steve Bannon, they kept it under wraps, you know, but they did tell, now they did tell the local authorities what they were doing. In fact, the local authorities had came out and saw what they were going to do, and they didn't say anything about it. They thought everything was good to go. So they, over the weekend, they built a mile wall.
Record, yeah. They broke the record. Yeah, they built over a mile.
Yeah, they built over a mile. But then come Monday,
cease and desist order from the Democrats.
Right, and right. The Democrats, the bureaucracy there, you know, put it, so now it's going to go to court, you know.
Of course.
But technically, even though they were out there, now I'm not saying this in defense of the Democrats, I just state facts. The problem is they should have got a permit, because you have to have
they didn't have a permit to build?
No, but you don't need a permit. It's like this. If you look at on most places, just like Wichita, you know, because when we, at the Mission Church, when I tried to build a fence out back there, I wanted to make sure I didn't get in trouble with the authorities. I didn't want to argue with Wichita. And so they told me as long as I build it to their guidelines under a certain height and according to their regulations, then I didn't need to get a permit. So, you know, I didn't get one. But most of those all have height standards. And that's what they pointed out. They said the wall was higher than their height standards, and so you needed a permit to build it. So they should have got a permit.
They didn't make them tear it down, did they?
It's going to court. They say, they told them cease and desist, and now it will go to court. The judge will decide whether to tear it down, to make them tear it down, or say it's okay, or whatever. It will go to a judge. And if it's a and it'll go like this. That wall isn't going to be built, very fast, privately, because of this mere fact. They were going to build 200 and some miles, but they can't until it goes through court. So what will happen will be is, let's say Bannon wins and the veteran wins and says, okay, yeah, you guys can go ahead and build it. What's going to happen? Do you know?
Tell us.
Okay, well, what always happens every time there's a decision in this climate, then that means the liberals would lose, and so the liberals will appeal it to a federal court. And so let's say the liberals win in a federal court. Well, then what happens then?
It goes back to court again?
Yeah, because then you appeal the appeal because you didn't like the way it
turned. So it's tied up years in court.
Not necessarily years. It, a lot of those things fast track. It could be tied up for a year or two, or it depends on sometimes one side can ask for a fast track and try to get the Supreme Court to accept it quicker because of an emergency.
A national emergency.
Or something. And so either way, the liberals, whether it's the liberals appealing it or conservatives, you know, Bannon, it's going to be tied up in court for a little while. So, but the little bit of wall that they got, you know, is better than nothing, but not really. Sandy, and it's in the San Diego area, and this is one of the worst places where drug trafficking and everything happens at. And so it is greatly, badly needed. But it's tied up in court. And that's, and that, in fact, President Trump right now is because, a lot of his decisions have been being, you know, he'd make a good decision on something, a good policy. Well, and I think I brought it up on radio a couple of weeks ago, but there's been over 37 or 40 times, something like that, that his good policy decisions have been appealed by, well, a judge would come in and a liberal judge would come in and say, no, you can't do that, whether it's on immigration or something else, and it has to go to the Supreme Court. Well, every one that's at the Supreme Court, Trump has won, is to my knowledge, current knowledge, what I have right now. But not all of them have even made it there. There, you know, out of 37, I think only about 10 of them have made it to the Supreme Court on decisions that he wanted to do. And then people turn around and say, well, Trump's not keeping campaign promises to build a wall. He's doing everything he can.
He's trying to build the wall. They won't
the
let him.
And the reason why, listen, let me go with this.
He's kept every campaign promise that he made.
He tries to, but let's go with this. So if it's not Trump's fault, whose fault is it?
The Congress that won't work with him. He doesn't even have a full cabinet yet, does he? And he's almost did.
No, his cabinet, come think of it, no, his cabinet isn't completely.
Yeah, and he's almost did a full term already, and they can't even give him a cabinet. He is doing everything he can within his power. It's ridiculous that he has to fight the American people to protect the American people and do what's right for the American people. It's just bogus. They need to be thrown out. Then half of them people over there in Congress anyways been there way too many years. They need to go home and sit in their rocking chair because they ain't doing anything anyway except stopping.
They're obstructing.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's go with this. Okay, first off, you got it about right, but let's go with this. I'm talking about placing blame. So, yeah, sure it is. The liberal Congress that just came into power and the people that were voted back in, not the ones that have been there, but that there's people that voted back in into the House that gave the House a liberal majority. Those people were voted in this last election. And so it's the House that's stopping everything, and the House are liberals. And even though there's old time ones that have been there forever, this new crowd that's came in, well, yes, of course they're going along with the liberal agenda, and it is the liberals' fault. But there's a bigger fault lies elsewhere. Where does that lie at, can you think?
The voters.
Gee, that's what I'm...
Wow, if they would stand up and man up and woman up and vote the right people in there, then wrong people out, because we have the power to do both.
How about just voting? There's the point, and this is what I've been saying on radio for a very long time, folks. Well, we voted President Trump in, and a lot of you guys are over there loving it and wanting him to do all these things, but you're sitting there blaming him because he doesn't get them done. It's your fault. You didn't get out there and get your neighbors to vote. Maybe you didn't vote. And maybe you didn't even vote for the right person in your local elections, and that's what that last election was all about, was voting in the last elections to make sure that we have a majority in both the House and the Senate, because if we don't have a majority in the House and the Senate, there's no way the liberals will compromise or allow anything of Trump's to go forward. So it's not President Trump's fault. It's really not the Congress' fault that came in, because actually they're doing what their party wants them to do. But whose fault is it? Guess what? It's you folks out there, and maybe not the ones specifically that are listening to me on radio, but you need to get out there and get involved, and you need to keep praying for it, and you need to stand up. And that's what I keep saying. It's like my wife just said, you need to stand up and woman up. You need to man up. You need to get out there and vote. You need to let your voices be heard instead of sitting back and doing nothing.
Stand up for what's right. Don't just turn your head and sweep it under the rug. It's not right.
And then complain to everybody else that everybody else aren't doing their job. Aren't doing their job. Wow. Okay. Here's another thing that really, really irks me. Christianity in Iraq. Now, Iraq, you know, Iraq used to be called Assyria, but Iraq, that's where the Christian church basically in Israel and right there, Iraq, that territory, that's where the Christian church started at. But right now, Christianity in Iraq is close to extinction, and and those who remain face martyrdom. Yet some Christian leaders in Britain and around the world refuse to condemn the atrocities perpetrated by Muslim extremists for fear of being called Islamophobic. This is going on worldwide. And in fact, it's gotten so bad. Christianity is more persecuted right now. They're the number one persecuted group in the world. Christianity is more than any other time in history. That's even in the early church. More than any other time in history. We are seeing massive. We are in that time at the end. That's what it said in the last days. When it was talking about Christians being put to death, and they are being put to death for their faith. They're being made martyrs of. And why? People know that it's going on because they don't want to offend the Muslims or look Islamophobic. Well, you know what? I don't know if any of you folks have looked at France lately, but France looks like a trash pile. Now, right now, we're hearing... the French are now preparing for civil war against Muslims to take their country back. Okay, I'll let you read this right here.
France experienced the worst terror attack in history at the hands of ISIS psychopaths. From that day forward, Europe has been absolutely demolished and taken over by refugees, Islam and ISIS terrorists hiding and waiting to carry out their next attack. Since the refugee crisis, France has accepted 13,000 refugees, but many experts argue that number could be much higher, even given that many are sneaking in and out covertly. Nevertheless, France has been experiencing many problems with refugees, and it has led to officials afraid that they're going to lose their country. They are unskilled, costing a lot in taxpayer funds. They do not work. They are sucking welfare programs dry, and many have been linked to ISIS. French authorities have issued several warnings that they suspect many to have ties to ISIS and worry another large-scale attack is in the near future. With that, French authorities have begun to prepare for a civil war against Muslims in order to clean up their country, according to the prominent author Eric Zimmermore, who claims a high-ranking government source told him of the plan.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that's going on in France, that they're at the brink. In fact, in France, they have, a couple of months back, they started closing up some of the mosques. But you don't see that in the regular media. You know, it's hard to find, but you can see pictures of whole streets being, people happen to wait because all the Muslims are out in the street saying their prayers. And so traffic is tied up several times a day because they're out there. The Eiffel Tower around it and all this beautiful, beautiful, you know, France was always, a city of love and romance. Now it looks like a dung heap, you know, kind of like California. Which, by the way, Los Angeles, California, is dung heap now. It's one of the worst cities for homelessness in the world. And they want, and liberals control that. In fact, that's Nancy Pelosi's district that she represents is L.A. And yet that's what they want. They're what the rules that they have passed there have brought on the housing crisis and all that. And there's rat infestation there in L.A. that doctors and people from the CDC, Center for Disease Control, are telling them you're going to have an epidemic this summer of typhus and other diseases that are carried by rats, even the plague, because the city is rat infested because there's garbage everywhere and feces everywhere. And these are the same laws that Pelosi wants to put on us and the liberals want to put on us. That's what will happen to America as a whole if we let them take back over.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be a big garbage can, huh?
Yeah, a big garbage can in all the major cities. That's what it'll be like. And with the Muslim thing, flipping back to that, with the Muslim thing, that is increasing. These Muslims don't even want to work. They say they won't. They demand welfare and demand money.
And tell me how they get tax returns when they've never paid in a penny.
They give it to them. The liberals and the IRS arranged all that. And so, yeah, families that come over here, they get tax, you know, earned income.
3 years of tax returns and never paid in one penny.
Right, and that's because the liberals gave it to them. Now, you say, well, now let's go back to that. People say, well, Trump's administration. Well, wait a minute. Obama was in there 8 years, and when it changes hands, yeah, the people were supposed to follow the new president and his policies. But Obama put people in place all over that aren't doing that. They have not all been weeded out of the various places in government, and so they're still, until they get fired, they're still doing things under the way Obama wanted them done.
Obama's still trying to be president.
Well, he's trying to do something, you know. And,
oh, my goodness.
And
this
so,
is just craziness.
It's all craziness. But here's the only hope. The only hope, every bit of this problem in America can be brought back to the doorstep of the church. Because historically, the church in the United States of America is what built this country. We came here for religious freedom to worship Jesus Christ. But now the church, and even the thing where it says, well, separation of church and state, that amendment was put in there not to stop Christianity. It was to protect Christianity from being run by a government church.
Right.
Like England. England has a government church. You know, they're not as bad now as they used to, but that's what they fled. Because the monarch, the king or queen that was in charge of England, was also then the head of the church in England. And so that's why they fled and left. They didn't want another state-run church. And so that's why they put it in there. But it was found on Christian basics. But the church, when they got the 501(c)(3) thing, the bribery, the Johnson's Amendment,
became government.
They followed the rules of the government, which says no political speech. And by no political speech, that means no talk about it. Or you can't get out there and talk about abortion. You can't get out there and talk about too many Islamic people. You can't do prayer in a school. You
can't talk
do this.
About homosexuality.
Right. There you go. So all of this garbage can be laid back to the sleek church, which puts it, I'm talking about the leaders of the church, that don't stand up there in the pulpits like they're supposed to do and say, hey, this guy's wrong. Don't vote him in. In fact, that's why it all came up, because the church in Texas was all after Johnson. You were talking about Lyndon Johnson. He was a senator. He was a whoremonger and a drunkard.
Very bad person.
Right, and the church was speaking out against him. And so he came up with this thing called the Johnson Amendment. And it was put in with another bill where it said that for no political speech, you get a number, and it will guarantee that you are tax-exempt and you can get rich. And the church did that. They got rich.
And they voted him in.
And they voted him in. But the church was already non-tax accessible, but they wanted the number. They wanted the simple thing. And so Johnson later became president of the United States.
Yeah.
Where, you know, so it's ridiculous. So there's the point. There is the point. This could all be laid at the doorstep of the church. So, folks, maybe your church isn't that way. Praise the Father. Not all churches are that way. But the largest proportion are. If a church isn't standing against abortion, if the church isn't standing against homosexuality, transgenderism, and all these perverted things, then there's something wrong with the church. Either if the church won't hear you point it out to them it's wrong, then you need to get out of the church and you need to raise your voice. And that's what we do on radio every week.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we got about 6 minutes left. We want to talk about.
Well, I don't care. What do you want to talk about?
Well, we can do that, but you're supposed to bring things here.
Okay, you want to talk about the church or?
Oh, okay. Okay, so from the United Kingdom, we had
we got a card in the mail from from a woman in the United Kingdom that listens to our radio program on Omega Man Radio, but she listens on an MP3 player that her son downloads the program and sends to her. So she listened to one about Thanksgiving, and she sent a gift that we just got now. She said she realized that it was later, but that's the only way she has to listen to the program is from her MP3 player. So it's a slow, long process. Kind of like when you order something on the internet and they tell you it's on the slow boat. That's because it's coming from you know where, and it takes 6 months to get here. That's kind of the same deal.
Okay, but it didn't take her 6 months to get here. But the point is that We do have supporters from around the world, you know. So if in a couple of months, dear, if you get this this particular radio program.
Thank you for your donation.
Thank you for your kind donation. And
first time we ever got pounds.
Yeah, I haven't gotten pounds
except
before.
For the ones that's on our bodies.
Yeah, well,
that's
moving,
not funny, right? Yeah, moving right along, yeah. And I have no idea what it was because it's still in the conversion bank. So, but anyway, it was a blessing, and it did only take a week for her to mail it. But what I was relating the time limit to is how long it takes her to get the programs because she has to wait on her son to download them and then mail them and all that. So she doesn't get them.
Right, whenever he gets around
yeah,
to.
They're old when she gets them. That's right, what she was trying to point out.
Right.
She just listened to it in May when it was recorded in November, so that's what she was trying to point out. That's the slow boat that she has to wait to listen to our programs, but she really enjoys them.
Right, amen. And we do, you know, we have a large, a lot of people, and that's why I point out, well, I'm all about listeners. And folks, I do pray that you would, send me, you know, an email or a card or anything. I'd like to know where you're listening from, just for curiosity, whether it is, but tell us how you listen. Like this particular case, she listened to us on Omega Man, which we do twice a month. We do a program on Omega Man, but she listened to us on an MP3 player. So tell us how you hear us. Do you listen to us at a podcast site? Do you listen to us live on American Voice Radio? Do you listen to us on satellite? Or your cell phone. Yeah, I'd just like to know. Because this is about you folks. And if you have topics or something or somebody that you want us to talk about or somebody that you want to have me try to interview or us interview, let us know. We'll try to do that for us. Okay, I'm going to say this about Radio Airtime real quick. We do need sponsors for Radio Airtime. I did have a donation come in today that I was able to pay some on Radio Airtime. In fact, I now only owe half for May. That means I still owe $125 for May. And, you know, here in what, 2 days?
I think it's Sunday's the first.
Sunday's the first, so then I owe another $250. But point is we need sponsors for radio. You folks listen on radio, praise the Father for that. But to you, radio seems free, but to us, we've got to pay all the bills and everything around it, you know.
Right.
Okay.
And we do need men's clothes at the church. So if you're in and around the area, men's clothing. Right now we need T-shirts and jeans really bad. So.
Yeah, we get lots of female clothing, but we just don't get any men's clothing, you know. And to me, think is weird, but, you know, men, we tend to wear ours more towards the end of things when it's not worth wearing anymore. That's when I throw them away. I don't regularly replace my clothes. You know, I buy a pair of jeans that last me 2 or 3 years, you know, depending on what I buy.
And I just want to throw out there that we're planning a celebration for our 20th year celebration, and we're wanting to do a cookout with fans and all that. So if you want to help sponsor that, just send a donation mark to that or get a hold of Pastor Dan or I, and we'll tell you how to do that.
Okay, yeah. If it's a radio donation, mark it radio. If it is for the event, just say event. That's how you do it. Otherwise, it'll go into what's
the general bill money, transportation, and all the needs.
Well, right.
File, yeah.
It just goes in a general fund, and it's used for the most immediate needs. That's what you say. Anyway, well, that's the truth. Anyway, so why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love. That's the answer. You know, we just make sure they behave. And they come in the door, we don't judge who they are. You know, we help without judgment.
And now we've been blessed with Pastor Dan found a place called Giving the Basics, and they supply basic needs that aren't supplied on any other programs like toilet paper and hygiene products and stuff like that that we'll be able to get once a month. And we got our first order last month, and it's been blessing the people really good. So they've been able to get toilet paper, shampoos, laundry soap, all the stuff. We get it all basic needs.
Okay, well, we ain't got much of that. I got to tell them how to donate. So, folks, remember, we are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
No heart.
And if you don't wish to help us poor, consider a donation for Radio Airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air.
You can donate online, over the phone, or by mail in a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
All right, Tom, goodbye, Mom.
Okay, shalom, people. I'll see you next week.
Well, they'll hear you.
I'll be back next week.
See you? They can't see you. Anyway, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as praying for peace of Jerusalem is like praying for Messiah's return.
Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan and Sister Linda saying goodbye and
shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.